Thank you for listening to the media ministry of the Puritan Reformed Presbyterian Church in San Diego, California. If you are blessed by what you hear and would like to help keep our little church going as a ministry partner with your cheerful gifts, please listen for instructions at the end of this message. Beloved, we turn to Lamentations chapter 3 for both services today. This morning we're going to go to verse 26. This evening we're actually going to go one verse back to verse 25. Lamentations 3, verse 26, our text this morning. And as I mentioned, one of the things you can note is that they both in the Hebrew literally start with the word good. They actually start with the word good. Even notice verse 27. What I would like to do, though, is read from verse 22 through verse 26. It's challenging not to want to say, let's read the whole chapter. I would remind you, and I'll talk a little bit more. I'll revisit a little more tonight. I preached on this, sharing a lot of insights from my professor, C.J. Williams, Old Testament Hebrew professor, who's written some lovely things for Ligonier. I guess I say that because we're going to have some thoughts from Ligonier Ministries as well. But he wrote a book on this, and very, very helpful on Lamentations. I want to recognize that he pointed out when he was preaching Lamentations, I think it was his mother that died, and when he was preparing it for a book, his father died, and then when he was having it go out there in the process, when his brother died. And so he pointed out this was particularly a ministry to him because of the hope of that what it says. And I would remind you in what he teaches, and I think he's right, chapter 3 is really kind of the center of the whole book of Lamentations and in its construction, therefore the main focus of the book. Okay, but it is a song, it's a book of lamentations, it's a book of weeping, the weeping prophet. Have that in view. I'm going to read verses 22 to 26. Notice verse 25 is what we'll revisit this evening. I'll repeat verse 26 because that's our text for this morning's sermon. Excuse me. Hear now the word of the Lord. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. And the verse we're focusing on together this morning, beloved, is verse 26. Let me read that again. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. And the part we're focusing on is another how to wait on the Lord. And in this case, quietly. It's good for us to wait quietly on the Lord. That's what we'll be giving our attention to most directly. Now remember, we studied waiting on the Lord, and there was a sermon a few weeks ago on how to wait for the Lord, Psalm 37, verse 7, and we looked at Psalm 40, verse 1 as well, patiently. We saw this repetition of how to wait on the Lord, and the answer was patiently. We were encouraged to think about how to wait on the Lord. Not just that we do, but how, by editor Burke Parsons' opening article in the April Table Talk, which with Ligonier Ministries is all about waiting on the Lord. And he wrote this, just to review with us. The Lord is teaching us that it is not simply that we wait, but how we wait. And again, when we looked at that quote before a few weeks ago, we paid attention to Psalm 37, verse 7, and Psalm 40, verse 1, patiently. Patiently. But there are more hows that we've been looking at and noticing, and we touched on them even in our devotion at the Puritan Feast Friday night. And I'd like to give ourselves an opportunity to come back to them and study them a little more closely to help us in our waiting by knowing how, the way the Lord says how to do it. And I want to revisit this morning and evening how. We'll look at other things about how. Yes, patiently, but also something else. And this morning we're going to study waiting quietly. Another how to wait upon the Lord. Quietly. And that needs to be seen not only in our heart, but our behavior. And of course, our behavior would be what shows whether or not we're actually waiting on the Lord quietly in our heart. The message for you this morning. Wait for the Lord quietly. Previously, wait for the Lord patiently, and not unrelated and probably a how to do it patiently. Wait on the Lord quietly. There's a need to quiet ourselves to be able to call ourselves to be patient and wait on the Lord. Wait for the Lord patiently. Now, at first that might seem confusing. If you remember when we looked at the Hebrew word for waiting on the Lord in Psalm 37 verse 7, it wasn't the word I'm more accustomed to looking at in the Hebrew when I'm doing my preparation. And actually there are a number of different words that usually can be translated hope or wait. So hope is almost a synonym for waiting. But in this case, in Psalm 37, verse 7, I pointed out to you that the Hebrew word could be translated, the word wait could be translated travail or labor, like labor pains. Well, stop and think about that for a moment. When a woman is in labor, she is not quiet. She may be patient, but she's not quiet. She's not still, and nor should she be, of course. There's a place for crying out to God in your agony, Psalm 37, verse 7. That's an aspect of waiting, even patiently. But there's also a point where the baby must be delivered. And then things will settle. The baby comes out crying also, but then there is nursing. And the delivery room goes from a place of certainly waiting on the Lord, but more in that laboring and travail to a place of quiet and peace, other than the sounds of the child suckling and swallowing mother's milk. But that's also still waiting. Perhaps we can think about these things, though they overlap and create. Maybe sometimes there's an aspect of stages of waiting. So another aspect, again, to the process of waiting is not just patience, but stillness or silence, both body and mind. How often are we calling out to our children, be still, be still, quiet down, so they'll settle down. And the two are so related. And notice that it's for their own good. It's for our own good. You know, often as we think about crying out to the Lord with hope in a way that's more like travail and laboring, I think it's safe to say you often will hear ladies sharing their war stories, so to speak, about labor and how long it lasted is a big topic that often comes up. None of us want labor that lasts forever. There's a place to get with that. It's for our own good to get to a place of quietude, stillness, silence. And if we don't get there, perhaps there's a place where it's impossible to say that we are at all waiting. For instance, if you're waiting in line, but you're fidgety and stuff, you can't stand it, checking your clock, at some point you leave and then you're not served. Waiting is being still. To get through the process. It's for your own good. It is good to wait on God's salvation silently. I give that to you as the point of the text this morning. It is good to wait on God's salvation silently. Now let me give a disclaimer that I think is needed in the Western world. And I'll keep it brief. Sometimes I won't, but today I will. I did not say wait on the Lord stoically. That would be mistaken. That would not be good for you. It would not give glory to God. And I argue it would be sin. I said, wait on the Lord silently. And that's what the Hebrew text says. In fact, in the Hebrew, the literal word order begins like this. Good. It just starts good. And so does the verse before it we'll study tonight. And the verse after it. Good. So three verses, good, good, good. Don't miss the good. to be afforded you when you learn how to wait. And when you learn how and practice that makes perfect, right? Let patience have its perfect work. Don't miss the good that can be yours in learning how to wait in terms of how the scriptures instruct us. Patiently, in this case, silently. How to have this goodness, it is emphasized, you can have it in waiting on God. But how can you have that goodness by waiting on God? How do you do it? In this verse, it says, quietly. In the Hebrew, the word that we have quietly is actually one word. You really get it? Wait quietly comes from one word in the Hebrew. It could be translated wait silently. It could be translated just silently. And it has the idea, it's a verb, it has the idea of waiting silently. You see, there's a repetition of the idea here too, right? It's good a man should hope and quietly wait. Now that word hope, a synonym for wait. But when we talk about the word wait, the Hebrew word is wait silently. Wait quietly, or as it's translated in our Bibles, quietly wait. It's good for you to quietly wait. See, you and I, we have to be told that because we're not accustomed to wait, and we're certainly not accustomed to wait patiently, and we're certainly not accustomed to wait quietly. And even as we get older, we know how to make it look that way with our bodies, although often not so much. We're not necessarily quiet within. And that's not good for us. So have the goodness waiting quietly, that is, waiting silently. Now, Psalm 37, verse 7, again, it talked about waiting on the Lord with a Hebrew word that means labor, travail. So there's a place for crying out and a sense of waiting on the Lord of that labor room experience. But then it needs to get to the place of quiet. So in verse 1 of Psalm 37, here's what our Psalter renders. For evildoers, fret thou not thyself unquietly. That's how our Psalter renders it. Fret not thyself unquietly. Don't get all stirred up in your soul, all stirred up in your body where you can't be still and you can't focus and you can't give attention and you're going to distract others from waiting on the Lord. Because you just can't be still. You just can't catch yourself within. The Bible says, don't do that. Learn how to be still. It's a real thing that requires learning and effort, isn't it? It doesn't come naturally to our sinful souls, which is why we do so many things to ourselves and others that are not good. Learn to be still. Learn to be quiet within. And beloved, when you are in those places this week, here's your place to practice. I hope you made your Thanksgiving list. I'm giving you some more homework. When you're in that line, when you're dealing with that thing that shouldn't be so complicated, is taking too long, getting served for something. When you're having that traffic moment, learn to be quiet about it. Learn to be still inside. Learn to be able to be still on the outside. What a witness that is, rather than a lack of stillness to give and be the light of the world. Now, let's look at the context here for how many reasons we can be still. Because we need to remember these things to help us be still. Look at verses 19 to 21. Remembering mine affliction and my misery, the wormwood and the gall, my soul hath them still in remembrance and is humbled in me. This I recall to my mind, therefore I have hope. Now remember, Lamentations, related to the other prophets, is he's lamenting the state of the church. He's lamenting the state of the people in discipline and diaspora, being sent out, taken away by other world, other kingdoms in captivity, and a lack of proper responding the way they need to be restored in full. And he's crying out over it, but recognizing it humbles him. But how can he then say, I recall this to my mind and I have hope? Because the Lord always, in his corrections in the prophets, calls them out and hammers them hard. And then in it are all kinds of words of hope of being restored in mercy when we repent. When we can be still before the Lord and listen to him and obey and follow him. And so he calls that to mind, and therefore he has hope. God is merciful. He will settle us down. He will use different things to get us to be still before him for our own good. I have brought this to mind and I have hope. His mercies. Look at verse 22 to 23. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Now, those verses we particularly love, and rightly so. Sometimes compassions being translated mercies. Notice mercies. It's the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed. It's the Lord's mercies his church is not consumed. It's the Lord's mercies that you and I are not concerned in eternal hellfire forever. We have hope that the gospel is true. We have hope in God's mercies to be saved from sins, to be saved from the effects of sins, which is death. The Christian has only the first death, not the second death. That's a true hope we have because of his mercy. And he reminds us of it every morning. Verse 23. Every morning there's new mercy. Why? Because of his faithfulness. How blessed to remember. And as the Psalms say, joy cometh in the morning, right? Because of God, not because of ourselves, we unfaithful group. But because of God's faithfulness, we can get up every morning and watch for it in quietness and not feel like we've got to try to do something to make ourselves right before God or improve ourselves and make our life right and prove others to improve ourselves. We can just be still before the Lord. As they that wait for the morning, there are new mercies to be had there. However the night was, there are new mercies to be had in the morning. We can always be still. However restless a night, often because of our own sins. However restless we are because of a season of our lives or of a church, there's mercy. The Lord does not consume us. So we are called to still wait upon him in hope. And in this case, quietly. Let our souls be still and quiet before the Lord. And not let Satan be accusing us with truths and also with lies that would unsettle our souls and therefore our bodies before the Lord. Cause us not to wait patiently. God lets us have affliction to humble us, that we would silently look up to him and be lifted up in his mercies. And you have to be still to be lifted up, don't you? Now, of course, God can do anything, but you know what it's like to try to lift up a child flailing, especially as they get a little stronger. A toddler is not so easy. It's a lot easier if they be still and cooperate and hold on to you, right? And for our own good, God can do whatever he wants, but for our own good, we're being called upon to be still, hold on to the Lord, and let him lift us up. Again, the how is helped by the what. So we want to recognize, what are we waiting for? That helps us do the how, which is patiently, and in this case, quietly. What are we waiting on? In particular, the verse says, the salvation of the Lord. This is certain. What you are waiting for is certain to be had. So hold on to it in patient, quiet waiting to have more of that abundant peace that's not of this world. More of that abundant life and joy unspeakable in this world by being still and quiet to hear it. Now sometimes we can go and read the word or go to a sermon and walk in and out and hardly have heard a thing. Often we're not listening. Often why? Because we don't know how to wait. Even on the preaching of the word. We don't know how to settle. Our minds are elsewhere. Our bodies are elsewhere sometimes. We have got to learn how to settle because it's the salvation of the Lord we're waiting for. That gives us an ability to have peace. We're saved in Jesus Christ. We have assurance of our salvation in Jesus Christ. We have assurance that he's coming back for us, that he will raise us from the dead. We have assurance in the meantime, he calls beforehand, we will go straight into the greater degree of glory in his immediate presence. That's what we're waiting on, the salvation of the Lord. When you know it's coming, it's worth waiting for. When you know it is certain, it's worth waiting for. You can wait in peace without making noise. The Hebrew word for salvation, as it would nearly always be, I believe, the root of it is where we get the word Yeshua in the Hebrew, which is where we get the name Joshua or Jesus. Matthew 1:24, thou shalt call his name Jesus. for he shall save his people from their sins. Jesus' name is God saves. You're waiting on Jesus to save you. Not just from hell, but from this world and into heaven. And it is certain. It's worth waiting for. It is certain. And when you remember what you're waiting for, Christian, and the world and too many in the church will distract you from waiting on Jesus and going to the world for your answers, which will never settle you. And the people that try to get you to come along with them recognize how unsettled they are. The answer is be still and quiet before the Lord, waiting on the salvation of the Lord and the Lord Jesus Christ, who saves his way, and he is only the way. Pray what is so often said in the Bible. Micah 7 verse 7, for instance. Therefore I will look unto the Lord. I will wait for the God of my salvation. My God will hear me. I will wait for the God of my salvation. How often that phrase comes up. The God of my salvation. The Lord of my salvation. I will wait. Oh, I want you to come this way with me. I want you to go this direction with me. We're going to go the way of the world, the broad way that leads to destruction. It's going to destroy your life. But you can have the false idea that you may have some sense of peace. And your answer can be, no, thank you. I encourage you to stay with me, but I will wait on the God of my salvation. It is good that you and I should hope and quietly wait on the salvation of our Lord. And beloved, quiet and silent and still looks like something. And I don't really need to explain that. We know what it looks like. We know how we often don't look anything like it. And how many are inviting us to go a different way that is truly not waiting on the Lord. Being still and knowing that he is God and our salvation is sure in him in every step along the way. That doesn't mean you don't use means of a lot of other scriptures and a lot of other sermons that relate to different aspects of things in life. But there's a way of dealing with things that is waiting on the Lord, and there is a way of dealing things that is not. And it is good for you, beloved, to wait quietly on the Lord. I will wait for the God of my salvation. Thank you very much. You pretend to know what's good for me. God knows what is good for me. And I know my God, the God of my salvation. And I will take what is good and I will take what is best. Psalm 46, verse 10. Be still and know that I am God. Psalm 27, verse 14. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. The sermon I preached on that text, here was the message point. Your strength is in stillness. And beloved, that includes facing what the world can't face in stillness or quietude. They can't. In fact, they try to block it out with a lot of noise and a lot of busyness. Facing death itself. But as you'll remember in Psalm 23, and we'll look at that again tonight, verse 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, but not death itself. We can face even death itself in the end, in the Lord, patiently, silently, with hope, with confidence in the salvation of our God. And beloved, that is why you and I are here, ultimately. Let's not forget, our only hope, our hope or nothing is hope, Paul says, is the resurrection. Deliverance and salvation from death itself, in the Lord. Waiting upon him. One thing I appreciate with Dr. Jeff Stuyvesant, as he's witnessed about his loss of his wife Tabitha, her gain, now with the Lord, as Paul speaks about it, He said, one of the things we can say about Tabitha is she showed us how to die well in the Lord. That doesn't mean without fear, without troubles and insecurities, especially as Satan will really want to attack us there. But we can wait on the Lord. Quietly anticipate. Like when you get up early in the light of the sun, though it is still behind the mountains and not yet fully in the sky, is yet beginning to illumine the sky, is yet beginning to illumine your house and your day. You know, sometimes when I know I'm going to need help getting up, one, because of my general disposition, two, because I'm often not getting enough sleep, I usually like to leave the drape down in my room to ensure sleep at the time I'm trying to get it. But sometimes I leave it up. So when the morning light starts coming in, it helps wake me up. You know what I'm talking about. It just does. And as that sun starts to come up, it influences your way of responding. A special quiet in the moment while it is still, while all is still, but waking and waiting for the day to dawn. Quietly anticipating, stirring yourself up, but in stillness. Psalm 130, verse 6, you sang, my soul waiteth for the Lord. More than they that watch for the morning, I say, more than they that watch for the morning. Beloved, what you're seeing there is that's a quiet time of waiting. That's the how. How does a watchman wait for the morning? Quietly, looking for the sun to arise. But it's said twice, with anticipation, yet to not wake others and disturb them with slow, muted steps, with whispers, mostly feeling and listening to the stillness and letting it soothe you. But also with anticipation, with hope. It can be with quiet preparing, ready, because the sun is on the horizon. The light and the warmth of a new day will soon embrace you. And really, you're best prepared for the day if you have that quiet moment at the beginning of it. Like they who wait for the morning. I want to share with you another insight by Pastor Adriel Sanchez. He's a local PCA pastor, and he's the host of Sola Media's Core Christianity radio program. And he has an article in Table Talk where he does draw a bit on Psalm 130. And in particular, verse 6, he says this in explaining, how should we wait? In Psalm 130, the worshipers wait with confidence. We wait, quote, more than watchmen for the morning, more than watchmen for the morning. Nothing is surer than that the sun will rise at dawn. The watchman knows that his shift will end and that his rest is on the horizon. God's grace rises each morning as surely as the sun. Beloved, that's true for you in each day getting through this life. The watchman knows that his shift will end and that his rest is on the horizon. God's grace rises each morning as surely as the sun. But that's also true for you on the time appointed for the Lord to rise you up into his glorious presence with no more night. You see, when something is sure, you can be confident and thus quiet. What is your present moment? These words ring true for you at all times, beloved. Malachi 4, verse 2. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings, and ye shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall. Beloved, be silently sure of that as you face each day, as you anticipate judgment day, and as you face your last day. The watchman knows that his shift will end and his rest is on the horizon. Beloved, wait for the Lord with all that in view, and wait for the Lord quietly. That's the message for you this morning from our text. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. Wait for the Lord quietly. Let us pray. Lord, by your grace, we respond to your call to be still, for you are God. Help us to wait patiently. Help us to wait quietly, with full confidence in the salvation of our Lord in Jesus Christ, the author and finisher of our faith, who will never leave us nor forsake us, who has delivered our souls from this world and will deliver our bodies from it. And we will enjoy perfect peace in the resurrection from the dead. We will enjoy perfect quiet the more even now we give ourselves to watch for you like they who wait for the morning. For your mercies are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. O Lord, help us to be still and quiet before you, that we can hear you and we can witness for you. Facing life in this dead world and facing death itself, entering into eternal life. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, and all your people said, Amen. Thanks again for listening to the media ministry of the Puritan Reformed Presbyterian Church in San Diego, California. If you are blessed by our sermons and would like to help keep our little church going as a ministry partner with your cheerful gifts, please click on the Give button at the top of any of our sermon audio pages to support us with your online donation. Or visit our website at puritanchurch.com and click through the Give button at the top right of your screen. And if you prefer to send your support through the mail, please make your check out to Puritan Reformed Presbyterian Church and send it to Puritan Reformed Presbyterian Church, 6374 Potomac Street, San Diego, California, 92139. Thank you.